for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday morning, September the 3rd, 2004. Labor Day weekend, teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Cheryl Batts of Lake Hamilton Bible Camp is the minister.
And so the Lord is in the house. Amen. Amen. It is a wonderful thing to know, as we were ministered to last night, I said to a friend of mine, I said, I believe that God wants us to rediscover our potential. And he made me clearly aware that there are times when we come into the congregation of the Lord and we just assume, I think, that everybody is exactly where we are, but they are not. And so I said, okay. So for some of us, we're going to, I believe this weekend, rediscover our potential in the Lord. And some of us are going to discover our potential in the Lord. Amen? One is that we already know, and maybe our embers, our flame and passion has grown like an ember and needs to be fanned by the Holy Ghost by a fresh word, or the same word by a fresh person, you know, with a deeper revelation. Or maybe it's that you have never been in a place where the eagles are gathering and giving you the meat of the word. Amen? But today, because God lives within us, and because he loves us, and because he wants us to live what I call a deliverance lifestyle, we're going to talk about practical things this morning. Just practical things that allow us to move into what I call, and what I believe others call, a deliverance lifestyle. Because deliverance isn't a one-time affair, and it's not something that you live on Sunday and then Monday through Saturday you have a whole different agenda and a whole different program. Amen? Amen. It is something that you need to live and think about and be a part in your daily walk. Because as the Lord begins to take over more and more in you, the more you walk in deliverance. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads to the reverence of the Lord that is on the inside of us and that's in the place today. Father, thank you for your presence. Thank you that you are ever present. Thank you, Father God, for Jesus and the work that he did on the cross. Thank you, Father God, for the precious gift of the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Father God, for an opportunity to come before your people, and I decrease right now that you may increase in me, Father, that the pure, undiluted word straight from your throne room, straight out of the heart of God will come forth for your people today. Father, we just take authority over sleepiness, and we decree that our mind shall be focused. Father God, that we shall hear the word, and then that we shall not only hear the word, but that we shall be doers of the word. And I thank you, Father God, for the word that I feel in my heart that you have given me, because I'm grateful, Father God, that as the word comes out of me, that it will do the work in me that needs to be done. For I stand before the people, Father God, humbled in the fact that I am human and that I have issues, God, but that you know those issues and that I'm only here because you called me and you asked me and I said yes. And so I am willing to speak your word, God. I'm willing to do what you would have me to do. Yet I know, Father God, I too need deliverance. So I ask you, Father God, to not just reign in one place, but reign from the front to the back of the house, God. Give us what we have cried out for, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Father God, we have cried out in our individual prayer closets. We have come this morning at 6 o'clock with Doc, and we have prayed, and we have sought your face, and we have sought deliverance from our issues, God. But as we come corporately together, you said where two or three are gathered in your name, and then we come with one voice, one heart, and one mind, that you shall be in the midst of us. And as you are in the midst of us, what demon can stand? So, Father, we give you the praise, we give you the glory and the honor as we enter into your presence with a heart of thanksgiving and humility and a willing and an openness to be obedient to your word. We give you praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Practical things about a deliverance lifestyle. Rest. How many hours of sleep are we supposed to get? At least 8? You know, some of us can get away with 5 hours of sleep. And occasionally you can push yourself and get along with less hours than that. But you know what? In order for the temple, your body, to hold the Holy Ghost and to be effective in the greatest way, we need to take care of our bodies. We need to rest. We need to eat right. We need to drink 8 glasses of water a day. We need to pray. We need to read the Word. We need to discover through reading the Word in prayer who we are in God, rediscover who you are in God, and that deliverance is a lifestyle, and know that obedience truly is better than sacrifice. Amen? Obedience is the door to your blessing. John 15, 9 through 17. Amen? You want to go there? And if not, that's fine. Get the tape. Verse 9 in John 15 says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." And this is all in red. "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that what? That my joy might remain in you." And what is the joy? The joy of the Lord is what? Our strength. "And that your joy might be full." So if our joy is full, then our strength is full. Amen? Amen. So what we need to do is to love the Lord. Love him just as he has loved us. The 12th verse says, "This is my commandment." So this is not a request. But what? This is what? A commandment. We are commanded by the King, the Lord of hosts, the Prince of Peace, that we love one another as I have loved you. "For greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Do you realize that each time you walk into deliverance, each time you stand in agreement with someone in deliverance, that you're laying your life on the line? Because you're coming together and touching and agreeing for something that is a dichotomy to the real world. You're going into a spiritual realm. So therefore, you are putting your life on the line to go in, to touch and agree, to snatch them back from the mouth of hell and from a way of life that could ultimately destroy them. So this is a serious thing. Therefore, if you do it every day, it's not so hard. But if you just do it every other day, it's harder. Because if you do it every other day, your muscle is not as strong as it would be if you just got up every day and just decided to do it as a lifestyle. Decide to be holy every day. Decide not to laugh at dirty jokes. Decide not to watch things on TV that's going to cause you to go off in a different direction. Be able to live your life so that when things come up in your mind and you think to yourself, "That does not sound like God. I don't know if it's me or the devil, but I know it's not God, so I bind it and I cast it down." That's a deliverance lifestyle, making a decision immediately on the spot that I will not go there. And as you do it and continue to do it, it becomes weaker and weaker in your life. These are practical things that we have to do on a daily basis. And forgiveness is certainly a part of that. You got to forgive every day. Every day, if you lay down just before you go to sleep, you're going to think about something that someone said or did to you that just right. Get on it. Don't go to sleep thinking about it. Get on it. Because all the devil needs is just a little bit, just a little door. And he'll continue to work that and work that and work that till every time you get ready to go to sleep, that's the first thing you think about. That's the last thing you think about and the first thing you think about when you wake up in the morning. Practical thing. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servant, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known to you." In this verse right here, what it comes across to me is it says, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth." As you live a deliverance lifestyle, the open line of communication between you and the Father becomes ever so clear. And it becomes broader. You can hear his voice clearer. You can hear the Holy Spirit clearer, telling you which direction to do, what decision to make in that situation that you are living for that day and that moment and time. So there is no secret to what's going to happen in your life. He may not give you the whole plan all at one time, because you know what you would do. You would try to put that whole thing together and make it work out just like you want. And then that would be extremely selfish, because you're not in control of other people's emotions. You don't know what other things are going on. But if you will be obedient and do what God tells you to do at that moment and time, when it all works out, because of the because God's thoughts are not our thoughts, and our ways are not His ways, and one of His thoughts will just take us and just bust our minds wide open if we let Him do it, and we are dance partners with Him to do what He tells us to do when He tells us to do it. Not only will we be blessed, but other people will be blessed, and then somebody beyond that that you cannot even see will be blessed. A community will be blessed. A city will be blessed. A state and a nation will be blessed. If we will all tap into a deliverance lifestyle that allows us to hear God's voice clearly every day and do what He tells us to do. We will never be the whole of anything, but we certainly are part of a greater thing. Amen? And He said, but I have called you friends. Now, when you have a friend, usually, as I said before, you have no secrets from your friends. So there are no secrets. It's just that God loves you enough not to give you the whole pie at one time, because you'll just eat it all and be sick. So He doesn't give you the whole pie at one time. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known to you. And so when the Lord is speaking to us through our spirits, through a prophetic word, and as we prophesy even to ourselves, and as we prophesy even over our lives, as we prophesy over our children's lives, to me, prophecy is based on faith. And in the Bible, it says that we call things what? Hello? We call what? That's prophetic. Is that not how God did when He spoke the word into existence? It wasn't there before until He spoke it. And when He spoke it, it had to come true, because everything that He says is true. It had to happen. So is that not on the inside of you? Who sits on the throne of your heart? Who are you listening to? Who is prophecy? Jesus is prophecy. Jesus is what? The word. And He is the prophetic word. And as you speak it over yourself, as you speak it over your family, as you speak it over your city and over our nation and over those that are over us, those things that you speak because of whose image you are made in, and because of the lifestyle, the deliverance lifestyle that you live, you will begin to see these things come into being. And the other part of that is, it doesn't come into being when you want it to. Just deal with that, okay? It will come, but it never comes when you think. And it never comes like you think it's going to come. And it never comes by the person you think it's going to come by. Amen? Amen. Verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Oh, I know that's funny. You know, we think about that sometimes. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Is that not true? When we were deep in sin and stuck in miry clay, we say, oh, Jesus, He came and He found me. Jesus never lost you. The Father never lost you. He knew where you were. He did not find you. You just got a revelation as the stink got so bad that you were in the wrong place. And you looked up and saw Him because you had a revelation, and your spiritual eyes were as open as your natural nose, and you begin to see the stink and the mess that you were in. Amen. So He didn't find you. You finally realized that He was there and that He was carrying you because you made a decision. He is not a dictatorial God, but He's not democratic either. You have a choice. And as you make those choices based on your obedience to the word, your blessing is on the other side of your obedience. Amen? So you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And then what? I have ordained you. I have ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. So I have ordained you what? To evangelize. I have ordained you to minister the word of God beyond your own self. I have ordained you from the beginning of time to speak the word to other people. In your family, in the grocery store, on your job, on the bus, at the filling station. Everywhere you go, you have been ordained. And you have been ordained, why? Because you were chosen. You were chosen to do that. You were chosen to do that. Because you had a heart that was sensitive to hear the voice of God. And that's because why we have chosen what? To live a deliverance lifestyle, not just on Monday, not on Sunday, but Monday through Sunday. And as you choose to live that deliverance lifestyle, you become more and more like who? More and more like Christ. More and more like the Son of the Living God, who took an opportunity to evangelize every place that he went. There was not a place that Jesus went that he did not evangelize, that he did not tell somebody that about his Father and the love of his Father and the goodness of his Father. That is what we are required to do. That is what deliverance does. It is not a point of getting the monkey off of your back. It is a point of delivering you so that you can live a life that is fully impacted by the Holy Spirit so that you can hear the voice of God and that your life becomes a living epistle. And that your fruit should, that you should bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. That your fruit should remain. So when you receive enough deliverance and you live it on a daily lifestyle, the fruit begins to manifest. All of the fruit. Love. Gentleness. Kindness. Mercy. All of the fruit begin to manifest in your life. And as you continue to prune yourself, continue to move those things out of your life that can hamper the growth of the fruit, what happens? It remains. It just doesn't bust up on Sunday and Easter and Christmas. It begins to remain day after day after day. Amen. That's right. It remains. And that is the ultimate purpose of deliverance. To get you to a place so that the fruit remains. Not so that you can get the monkey off of your back for 2 or 3 months and then come running back in to get the same monkey off of your back. Absolutely not. This is not a methadone walk. This is a walk of deliverance and freedom and liberty in Christ Jesus. So that you can serve him. So that you can love God's people. You can be his arms and his legs and his eyes. And when you see things and he says, don't touch it. That you don't touch it. Whatever that may be. A niece that you care about that's on drugs and needs some money. And he said, don't give it to her. Do you trust him? Have you had enough deliverance to trust him? Have you had enough deliverance to believe him when he says, I will take care of it, that I am God, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. As you walk in deliverance and you are strengthened, you can be strengthened with tough love, that if God said don't give it to her, that you trust that he's going to take care of it, you don't give it to her. And in a dysfunctional world and a dysfunctional lifestyle where most of us have come from, we're not really dysfunctional because we've been chosen by God, but we learn dysfunctional habits in order to get along where we are. So as you begin to use tough love and say, no, I'm not going to give it to you, everybody begins to tell you that you are now dysfunctional. That's not God. God would have helped them. That's not true. As you walk in God and understand his character and begin to receive deliverance from your own emotions and stop letting them run you, but have the mind of Christ and the heart of God instead of your own emotions, then God will use you to bring that person out in a way that you would never have thought of. But you have to have deliverance from your own emotions. In order to have tough love, in order to do what God tells you to do, in order to be able to move and groove with him. Not your own interpretation of what you think he wants you to do. But you have to have deliverance and live it as a lifestyle in order to hear that kind of voice and understand that part of the character of God. Amen? And he said that your fruit should remain. that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. So, as your fruit remains, as you do what the Lord tells you to do, as you are obedient to him, as you become obedient, there's another thing that begins to set in, and it's called humility. And as the humility begins to set in and the spirit of pride begins to decrease in your life, the door opens into the holiest of holies, where you walk into the presence of God, knowing it's not because of anything you did. I don't care how many people you served. I don't care how many people you laid hands on and they fell out. It's not that you can go. That's not why you can get into the presence of God. You get into the presence of God because of what Jesus did on the cross. And the more humility you have, the more obedience that you have, the wider the door into the holiest holies opens, and you can see and hear what God is telling you to do for your life, for your family, for your friends, and for your loved ones, and you can be used then as a threshing instrument in the hands of God against the kingdom of God. And he has no other choice than when you bow down on your knees in that time of prayer in humble obedience to his word, knowing that he is King of kings and Lord of lords. He said, I smell a sweet fragrance. My child is praying. What do you want? Is that not what it says? And you begin to ask that in his name. So he waits for us to reach that point of deliverance in our lives, that we may enter in and come into his presence so that he can answer our prayers. The pastor spoke that last night. He's just waiting for us. He's not trying to locate us. He's not trying to find us. He's waiting for us to find him in our hearts and in our souls and in our minds, where he's been covered up and over by the sins of the world and our shortcomings and our inability to believe, our inability to have trust, faith, and hope in him. As soon as that's moved out of the way, you will realize that he has been there all along. He waits in your tomorrow for you to get a revelation that he's already there. And if he's already in your tomorrow, then why are you laying awake at night worrying about what you're going to do tomorrow? If you trust him, if you believe him, he's already there. He's waiting for you to get a revelation that he's taking care of everything while you sleep. He's already got it planned out. So all you got to do is get up in the morning and say, thank you. What would you have me do today? What kind of deliverance am I going to get today from doing what you tell me to do? What kind of blessing is on the other side of my obedience today? Oh, I'm just so excited I can hardly wait. I know it's got to be good, because God is good. He's a just God. He's a righteous God. He's my Abba Father. He is not going to set me up to fail. Many times he's just setting me up to bless me while I'm kicking and screaming on my way to the altar of deliverance. Hallelujah. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. Oh, you know, you be careful what you say to God. I said, oh, God, I've been so busy. I said, I just don't know what I'm going to give to people. It's not like I didn't read the word. I just didn't have nothing in specific. And I said, but I'll tell you what, God, it's okay. It's all right. I trust you. I'm just going to decrease so that you can increase. Oh, and I was praising God. I got up and went to the back last night and said, how you doing? I said, I'm fine. You say you want to preach tomorrow morning at 10? I was like, okay. I believe in God. I believe. Blessing. See, right quick. He didn't wait till next week to get me on that one. Let me warn you. Deliverance is every day. Amen? To be able to get the word on the spot when he tells you. Because you want to be obedient. We don't always make it. But a deliverance lifestyle, not a deliverance camp meeting, should be your goal. Amen. Amen. These things I command you. I'm not asking, but I command you that ye love one another. If you love one another, deliverance will be a lifestyle. Because you'll see so much pain and so much grief in those who are unable to walk in a deliverance lifestyle, that you yourself will become delivered by the compassion that you have in your heart
that living a daily lifestyle of deliverance will bring to you. You'll become more and more like the God you love and the God that you serve. You become more and more like Jesus. You begin to see the people of God through His eyes. And that person that was just irritating you so bad last week, if you would just live a deliverance lifestyle, next week when you see them, all of a sudden you look at them, they're the same ones, they're rattling off the same stuff. But all of a sudden, because you've chosen to live a deliverance lifestyle, you hear what they're saying. But all of a sudden, you really hear what's in their heart. And even though what they're saying is one thing, in their heart you see, got to give it to you, just like that, a little boy or a little girl locked in a closet where someone has been very mean to them, where they have been verbally abused. And all of a sudden, you realize what's happening, that is a dysfunctional cry for help. So now what you going to do with that? You're going to be obedient on the spot. And if God says pray, pray. If He says prophesy, prophesy. If He says a word of knowledge, a word of knowledge, you give it right then and right there. If He don't say nothing, then you know it's time to go home and pray that that person would be delivered. That's your job. That's your responsibility. That's why you are being delivered and set free. Amen. Amen. These are some things that God gave me. Obedience is the door to your blessing. Humility is the key to God's heart. Humility comes from a broken and a contrite heart. Humility comes from knowing who God is, the sacrifice He made for you, knowing where you are, where you were when you found God. He allows you to see yourself as God sees you. He causes you to trust. Humility causes you to trust God more than yourself. Humility will increase your trust level, as it says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. And He, amen, amen, He will open the storehouse. Humility will open the storehouse and keep it open. Humility will allow you to praise God when you don't even see the way out. Humility will allow God to sit on the throne of your heart. Humility will join obedience and move you from the I and the it and the ego to tell me where you want me to go, God. Tell me what you want me to say. I am yours, O Lord. When the passion for the word and prayer has turned to an ember, almost a dying fire, the flame of the Holy Ghost, by the recognition of the condition of your heart, humility will fan the embers by an impromptu praise of God, you're holy. I lift my hands and I magnify your name. God, you're holy. It'll just be an impromptu thing. Your deliverance is based on faith. Faith that God is who He says He is. Faith that the word you read is true. Faith that Jesus died for your sins. Faith that by His stripes you are healed and delivered. Faith that all you need is a mustard seed type faith and you can move mountains and demons out of your way because the word said so. Faith that two or three coming together, touching and agreeing can do anything. Why? Because God will be in the midst of us as we agree in the Spirit, by the Spirit, for His perfect will to be made manifest in our lives, the lives of our loved ones, our community, city, states, and nations, and the world. Agreeing with God is trusting that whatever God wants to do is all right, is best, is good, and just. Deliverance is a lifestyle. Deliverance kills off the self and the I in you and causes your voice to become steel and your flesh to become a house that shelters the earthly essence of God, the Holy Spirit. Deliverance assists the Word of God in renewing your mind, causing you to think about others instead of yourself, causing you to have the mind of Christ on a daily basis, seeing people through His eyes, having the compassion on the hurting, reaching out for the lost, loving the unlovable. A deliverance lifestyle allows you to speak to a person's heart and not be moved by what they are saying, hearing their heart's cry, whether they're raging, rambling, or whatever. There is a high level of discernment, and it's that same discernment that Jesus had when the Pharisees and the Sadducees sought to trap Him. A deliverance lifestyle will cause you to be spiritually functional in a dysfunctional world. A deliverance received and maintained by forgiveness, prayer, praise, and reading the Word will allow you to go places you have never gone before and see things that you have never seen before in the Spirit. You will end up on a Star Trek adventure with God. Deliverance comes daily as you die daily to food. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Fasting when you are called upon. A deliverance lifestyle will cause you to become a good dance partner with God. You will move to the music of angels, that is an immediate obedience. Deliverance delivers you from an atomic mouth where you always nuke people. Deliverance delivers you from the monkey on your back to the freedom and liberty that is in Jesus Christ. It delivers you to be richly blessed, a living epistle, the salt of the earth, a light to the world. Deliverance will allow you to preach, to teach, to heal, to have compassion, and to be laborers in the harvest. So let us live a lifestyle of deliverance and not be so much concerned about getting the monkey off our backs on a once-a-week camp meeting type thing. Let's see about standing strong and what we know is in the Word and live a life of deliverance. And when we come to these meetings, we won't always be so excited to get the monkey off our backs as we will to be a team to help those who have not come as far as we have to get the monkey off their back so that they can walk in a deliverance lifestyle. And as we walk in a deliverance lifestyle and become the epistle that God has caused us to be, we become people helping others excel by example. Phoebe, Romans 16, 1 and 2. Amen? Amen. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Father God, I give you the praise, I give you the glory, and I give you the honor. I thank you for this word this morning. I thank you, Father God, that this word shall fall on good ground. I thank you, Father God, that it shall take root. I thank you, Father God, because I know that the word came from you, and so it will do that it's been sent out to do. Father, we give you the praise, we give you the glory, and we give you all of the honor, because there is no one that should be honored more than you. You've said in your word that it's not by power, not by might, but by your Spirit, saith the Lord. And we thank you for your Spirit, which resides on the inside of us. So now, Father, we take authority over our flesh, and we say, flesh, listen to the Spirit, because I'm no longer listening to you. We say to our bodies, line up with the Word of God. In the name of Jesus, for we are healed, and we are walking in it on a daily basis. We thank you, Father. We give you the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.